everybody. My name's Jenny Higgins. I'm happy to be here today, and I'm so excited to be on this panel with these wonderful people, including some of whom actually worked with me when I was an intern, so I feel very humble and excited to be here. I want to thank my co-authors, who are mostly from the University of Indiana. I don't have any relationships to disclose, but I do like to talk a little bit about the funders for the study, since those in some ways do influence the study. So Church & Dwight, who owns Trojan Condoms, paid for the data set that I'm going to be sharing results from. And then, like Kelly, I have a K-12 award from NICHD that helped me with my analysis and write-up. Okay, so in this room, I don't need to talk too much about why we care about combining condoms with other contraceptives, but just to get us all on the same page, we know that using condoms, and I should say here, I'm going to be really using condoms as euphemistic for male condoms in this presentation. So using male condoms in conjunction with other contraceptives has multiple benefits. Certainly it has STI prevention benefits and the subsequent benefits against infertility, but also there's enhanced pregnancy prevention, and I think this actually may be where most of our traction could lie in trying to promote dual method use, right? I mean, your chances of avoiding pregnancy are better, particularly for people who aren't that concerned about their STI risk, especially as relationships ensue. We know that dual method use remains relatively uncommon, ranging from about 3 to 7% of adults to 7 to 25% of adolescents, depending on the study. Adolescents in general, as with almost all types of contraceptive use, do a lot better than adults, and yet we're interested in increasing these things. So we've seen a lot of work on the trends and the sociodemographic patterns of dual method use, but there are a few remaining gaps. So one is that we know very little about how dual methods are actually used in relationships. How are they negotiated? When does condom use start and stop over time, as well as in the sexual episode itself? So condoms, of course, are negotiated between two people, and they affect multiple aspects of the sexual experience. And one of the things that's been exciting to me about working with this data set, I feel like my colleagues in this survey and this study are really great at thinking about sex and thinking about condoms. And I think in the contraceptive field, we have a long way to go in terms of trying to sexualize and think and contextualize contraceptive use in the sexual experience. Also, most dual method studies focus on women, even though condoms are worn on men's genitals. And most dual method research focuses on adolescents, even though adolescents are actually using dual methods better than older adults, and even though adults in their 20s have higher rates of unintended pregnancy and STIs. So we set out to fill some of these gaps. We wanted to explore dual method use at the level of the sexual episode among 18 to 44-year-old women and men. So we used the National Survey of Health and Behavior. This was conducted in 2009. It was a probability sample of U.S. women and men ages 14 to 94, so very wide age range, but we restricted it for our purposes to the same parameters as NSFG. This was conducted by my colleagues at Indiana in conjunction with Trojan Condoms, and it was administered by Knowledge Networks. I won't go into too much detail. Many of you already know about Knowledge Networks. This is a way that in the changing dynamics of cell phone use make address-based in-person surveys increasingly difficult or unaffordable for most of us in research. So we're moving now to things like internet panels. So Knowledge Networks has this internet panel of respondents, and there's been some prior concern that, well, that will totally miss socially disadvantaged respondents. Knowledge Networks is now providing internet access and actual hardware if people don't have those things. So the study presents a really wonderful portrait of sexual behaviors, particularly condom practices. For our purposes, we restricted the data set to 44-year-old respondents who had had penile-vaginal intercourse in the last 3 months, and we also excluded respondents who were sterilized, infertile, or trying to get pregnant, right? So we're trying to get folks who are possibly at risk of unintended pregnancy. And our final sample is about 500 men and about 500 women. Respondents indicated which, if any, contraceptives they used at last vaginal intercourse and how they used them. So, for example, late application of the condom. So what I want to do is I'm going to show you three snapshots of results. I'm going to show you a graph, and then I'm going to give a text summary of the graph. So this is just looking at contraceptive distribution among the respondents. So the blue bars are total. the red are men and the green are women. And what we can see here, first of all, is that we have very large levels of no contraceptive use at last PVI. I think sometimes when you actually ask about last sex, you're going to get a greater and maybe potentially more accurate estimates of these things. When we look at condom plus hormonal, we had about 9% saying total. That matches pretty well with the NSFG of 7% that we've seen recently. About 8% of men and 11% of women reported dual method use at last PBI. So I will also say condom use was very common, whether they were used in conjunction with another method or not. So more than 1 in 3 last vaginal intercourse episodes were condom protected, 27% with condoms and 9% with dual methods. Okay. Oh, and also I'll just note, contraceptive reporting did not differ significantly by gender. So I know we are getting much, much better about this as a field, but this notion that men can't accurately report on contraceptives is increasingly dated and screwed up. So let's keep including men. Okay, so I want to talk about relationship patterns now. So this next chart is a little complicated, and my legend didn't upload well with the slides, but let me walk you through it. So this is the percent distribution of the number of prior sexual episodes that the respondent had with this partner. So what we see here, so the blue bars are people who use no method. The red bars are people who used a condom only. The green bars are people who used a hormonal method only. And the purple are the dual method users. So let's look at the grouping all the way on the left. So these are people who have either had no or only one prior PVI episode with this partner. So we see lower rates of no use, very high rates of condom use and dual method use, and extremely low use of hormonal only. When we go to the rightmost bars, people who have had at least 10 prior intercourse episodes, over 40% of people use nothing. Condom use has gone down, hormonal only use has gone up, and dual method use has also gone down. So I think the asking questions, not just about relationship duration, but about how many actual intercourse episodes you've had with a partner seem really important. So in text form, compared with other contraceptive users, condom-only and dual-method users were significantly more likely to have no or fewer prior sexual episodes with that partner. Okay, so the third thing, in this, I have two graphs here. I want to show you some condom-specific practices. So this is looking at how the condom was used during the intercourse episode. The bars here represent blue are the condom-only users, and the pink or the red are the condom plus hormonal, but they're very similar and they were not statistically different. So we see that while the majority of condom users use the condom the entire time, a large proportion initiated intercourse without applying the condom, and a minority also removed the condom prior to finishing intercourse. So 40% of dual method users used condoms inappropriately. 34% applied the condom late, and 6% removed the condom early. And the last chart I'll show, and I will say men, as you might expect, were significantly more likely to report condom errors, right, whether they applied it late or removed it early. All right, this last chart I want to show you is the proportion of prior intercourse episodes with this partner that were condom protected. So the rightmost group of bars are respondents who said, every single prior intercourse episode, I have used a condom with this partner. So that's over 50%. But you can see there's a significant amount of people who have used a condom at this intercourse episode who have not used a condom in prior intercourse episodes. So essentially, when we categorize someone as a condom user, the person might not be a consistent condom user. So in sum, only half of dual method users reported condom use in all prior intercourse episodes with this partner. Okay, so to summarize, I want to just point out, I know Trojan funded our study, and so this is going to sound very biased, but condoms are a very common reversible method of contraception used, and I think we disregard them in contraceptive research. So more than 1 in 3 PVACs among this group were condom protected. So I think we need to really acknowledge that condoms play a substantial role in pregnancy and STI prevention. However, condom errors were widespread. So many people classified as dual method users in prior studies may not have been using condoms appropriately or consistently. In terms of research implications, I think we should inquire how and how often condoms are used when assessing and addressing dual method use. And also, I think though men have rarely been surveyed about dual method use, they may provide more accurate reporting of this stuff, and we should be including them in our studies. I will just say, just in relation to the first bullet point, well, actually, give me a moment. I'll get to that. I'll end here with programmatic implications. So I think the large number of condom errors may emphasize the need for improved condom education and counseling. And there's a really fabulous study that Brian Dodge conducted showing that lack of school-based condom education was associated with greater STI experience, even when you control for factors. However, not all condom errors are due to lack of education or knowledge, and we need to think about the sexual aspects that might undermine effective condom use, too. And finally, I think programmers and educators should consider ways to promote dual use among couples who have been together for a month or longer or have had sex more than, say, 10 times. And I talked to Leslie Cantor yesterday or 2 days ago about how we might think about changing cultural norms relating to condom use at the beginning of the relationship. Maybe it's 3 months. Maybe you wear a condom for 3 months with your partner before you stop doing it. That might have some traction. Thanks for your attention, everybody.